Good morning. My name's Ruth. I'm one of the pastors here. And I want to give you a very warm welcome this morning to our harvest service. As most of you know, we have a small farm. It's more like a garden, really, but a small farm on our property. It's just half an acre, but it's a very productive half acre. We produce almost 2 tons of fresh produce. We do every year, but this year was our highest ever at 3,815 pounds, which is awesome. It's amazing. Yeah, it's pretty cool. We had a couple of very big producing crops. Tomatoes are always our biggest, or tomatoes are always our biggest crop at just over half a ton every year, and this year was no exception, 1,197 pounds. The other big one this year, because of all the rain, was the zucchini. We actually got more than half a ton. You may have actually seen some of those really huge ones that we had them out in the commons, and you may have even taken one or two of those, made muffins and all that kind of stuff. I see some people nodding. You may not know, though, that we actually did not include any of those big ones in our weight harvest, because we should have picked them when they were smaller. They would have been sweeter tasting and more nutritious. So we, because otherwise we'd want to grow everything super big, right, so we get our numbers up. So we actually did not count any of those. If we had, we would have been way over the 2-ton mark, so just so you know. But we also had more than 300 pounds of green beans. Now think for a moment how small and light a green bean is. He's getting ahead of me. James, hang on. Wait for the cue. So one green bean, actually 300 pounds of green beans is 12,000 green beans, more or less. 12,000, all hand-picked. Most of them by the king of green beans, Mr. Brian Markley. He was definitely the king of green beans, and one of our student volunteers, Natalie Wilson, was definitely the queen of green beans. Between them, they picked probably about 11,500 of those 12,000 green beans. So picking beans is a lot of work. In fact, the farm as a whole is a whole ton of work, no, 2 tons of work. And our community, together with local schools, including the Journey School, which meets in the barn during the week, but other schools too, have come out and helped us, volunteers from the neighborhood, and of course, many, many people here. And that added up to a total so far of 920 person hours that we have put onto the farm so far this year. And we're not quite finished. We have a couple more plots to till and sow the cover crop for winter. So that is a lot of work. In fact, can you stand if you helped out at all on the farm or with deliveries? This number doesn't even include delivery time. But if you helped at all on any of the farm events or on delivering, thank you to everybody. A lot of work. So why do we do it? Why do we put all this work, all this time and energy into the farm? Well, there are a number of reasons. First, there is so much need in our neighborhood. Maryland is actually the richest state in the country. If you look at the, make sure which measure it is, median household income, we're actually the highest in the country. And Montgomery County is the second wealthiest county in Maryland. So we have a lot of wealth in Montgomery County. And yet there is a lot of need and it's growing. And some of you will have seen these statistics before, I've used them before, but I always think that they're really eye-opening. 70,000 Montgomery County residents depend on SNAP, which is what a lot of people call food stamps. More than 37,000 children are in food insecure families. That means that they're not sure where their next meal is coming from. 1 in 3 kids in public schools qualify for free and reduced meals, and nearly 7% of seniors live below the poverty line of $11,000. I actually don't know how you would even live on $11,000, but there are 7% of seniors who have less than that. So there is a lot of hunger, a lot of poverty, even in our wealthy county. So being able to give fresh, chemical-free produce to people who could not be able to afford to buy that is a wonderful thing. It's a real privilege for us to be able to do that. Quality farmland like we have in this area is actually very hard to get hold of. There's not a lot of it. A lot of it is being built over or is used very intensely. It's in short supply. So we are really fortunate. We are really blessed to have this amazing land and to be able to use it to help our neighbors in need. So we deliver all this this produce, this 3,100, whatever it was, 3,815 pounds. We delivered it to places like Shepherd's Table. Many of you have been there and volunteered there, and directly to families through two distribution sites run by Manna Food, in coordination with Manna Food. So here you can see delivery at one of those. So giving food away that we've grown ourselves with our own sweat and I was going to say sweat and tears. Hopefully there were not too many tears. Sweat and toil it's deeply meaningful, and it's a way for us to get involved in issues of food justice. Now, 2 tons of food, as impressive as that is, obviously is not going to solve hunger in our county, let alone in Maryland. But it is a way of raising our own awareness and getting us involved in this issue. It encourages us to get involved in many other ways. I know many of you support our program with Greencastle Elementary School, where we pack food for children to take home at the weekend, children who are likely to go hungry at the weekend if they didn't have those food packages. That's another way for us to engage. Many of us have volunteered at Sophia's House, which is a shelter for women in need, and again, at Shepherd's Table and other places like this. So this is all the different ways that we can engage in this issue and become more aware of this issue of food justice. Operating the food also helps us to appreciate our own food and connects us back to nature. I love having kids on the farm. We have a whole bunch of kids, and they are some of our best workers. They really are. They really get into it, very enthusiastic. But a fair few of them will tell me that they don't like vegetables, or they don't like a specific vegetable, like kale or something like that. We used to grow beets, and I always said, well, I hate beets. We don't grow them anymore because I don't like them. No, it's not because I don't like them. Actually, most people don't seem to like them. But kale and things like that, kids will often say, oh, I don't like them, or even tomatoes or things like that. But when they grow them themselves, often they'll want to try them because there is something amazing about planting a seed and seeing it grow. And then you realize, wow, food is this incredible gift. It is, it's really amazing. We had one young man with learning difficulties who came out regularly to the farm this year to volunteer, and he was wonderful. He had such enthusiasm, and he had a thing about the zucchinis. So every time he'd go to the plants and he'd look and he'd find one of these huge zucchinis, he'd just burst out laughing, "The zucchinis!" And he's right, it is amazing. It's amazing that out of this little plant so high, you'd get these huge, huge zucchinis. Food is an amazing miracle, and it's easy to miss that, I think, if you just go to the store and you just buy it and you don't really think about it. So farming ourselves reminds us that it is really a miracle. Whenever we plant the seeds, I think we have a picture of... So these are some things we plant, like the tomatoes, we plant as little plants. Most things we plant a seed, and whenever you plant a seed, you wonder, is it actually going to germinate? Not everything does. Is it going to get eaten by pests? Is it going to get too much water and rot? We had that problem big time at the beginning of our season this year. Is it not going to get enough water, and is it going to shrivel up? Or is it actually going to produce what it should produce, which is on the next slide? That's what did actually grow. So those are our produce. So actually grew from those seeds. And whenever it does, you realize, wow, it is a miracle that that little seed produced all this food. It's wonderful. So the farm helps us connect back to nature and to appreciate the fact that we have food, and food is a gift. It's also a great way for us to connect with people outside of our community. As I mentioned, we have lots of people onto our property, including schools, and we share our land with them, our resources with them, and we serve alongside them. And we've really had some great groups of volunteers out this year, and we're grateful for all of them. And of course, in addition to the volunteers that we had come and work on the farm, we also had a lot of visitors yesterday come and celebrate with us. As Matthew said, nearly 800 people came out to help us celebrate the harvest, which is just wonderful. And again, it was a real team. It was a real community effort. Everybody pitched in, even some people who were brand new. They were just visitors, but they got stuck in and started helping making s'mores and doing the face painting and all kinds of stuff. So it was a really wonderful experience. It was a wonderful event. We also collected lots and lots of food. We collected lots of pasta, lots of canned fruit and vegetables. We absolutely packed out Manna Foods' vehicle, and that's all going to, again, to be distributed to our neighbors in need. So thank you all for that. It was a really good effort. And it was a great way of celebrating community. We live in a diverse community, a really great neighborhood, and it was a wonderful celebration of the community that we live in. So it's great to celebrate growth, not just the growth of fruit and vegetables on our farm, but all kinds of growth. We celebrate the physical growth of our family and our friends. We celebrate birthdays, of course. When kids are small, we celebrate them growing higher, growing taller. It's kind of weird, actually, how kids think about height, isn't it? They take great pride in it. Even my son said it to me yesterday, I'm nearly bigger than you. You know, it's like, well, good for you. Did you work hard at that? You know, I mean, it is. But we kind of take pride in height. Actually, I remember my other son. I was in the kitchen talking to him, and my birthday was the day before, and I was saying, oh, I've got to get a stool to get something out of the top cupboard because I can't reach it. And he said, but you, he was like five at the time. He said, but you had a birthday yesterday, so you probably can now, you know, because I don't grow that way anymore. I grow in a different direction. But anyway, but we celebrate all kinds of growth. We celebrate graduations. We celebrate different kinds of accomplishments, whether that's in sports or music or different hobbies or whatever. We like to mark progress and to celebrate it because we're all growing. We're all changing, often in good and healthy ways, sometimes in less healthy ways. But either way, we are not staying the same, right? We're always changing and growing. Well, I want to invite up somebody now who many of you, or some of you, have seen actually grow up. It's this cute little kid in the middle. He doesn't quite look like, he's still cute, but it doesn't quite look like that anymore. Please welcome up Johan. Johan, thank you for coming up here, very brave. And you've been at this church for a long time, right? Well, clearly.
Yeah. So this photo is actually taken maybe a year or two after, or before I started coming to Cedar Ridge.
Okay, but you were still a pretty small guy.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So how has it been to grow up in this community?
Well, really, it's been a blessing. I started coming to Cedar Ridge, you know, just a year after this photo, and I actually came on a dare. So one of my neighbors, who I started coming to the church with in the sixth grade, just was bragging about his church and how awesome it was. And he's like, my church is definitely better than your church. And I was like, I was like, I don't know about that. Let me check it out. So I went, and I was like, you're right. This is a lot of fun. You know, I really just sink into the experience of Cedar Ridge from a very young age. Yeah.
And how did growing up in Cedar Ridge impact you? How did it impact your life? Can you think of any specific?
So I've been here for a while, and Cedar Ridge has had a huge impact on my life. And part of the reason why I'm still here is because of that impact. I talked to my wife a little bit about this question, and she reminded me that when I talk about Cedar Ridge with others, the biggest impact and growth in my life has been just helping me become or understand love and become a more loving person, like loving myself, loving my family, loving my friends, and just loving others. And growth in that area is like certainly the biggest way that I've grown here at Cedar Ridge.
And I know that you've been very involved with kids and youth and the growth of others over the years.
Yeah. I started, because I had such a great experience here as a member of the youth ministry as a student in elementary school and middle school and high school, I actually knew when I was in high school that I really wanted to work with high schoolers and to be a leader who my students could just see as a mentor.